Verse 30.
I don't think you're picking up anything, are you? Are you? And can you hear me? On the back row, you can hear me. We're in great shape. We are members of his body. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. And the subject is the spiritual community of the believer. And I feel like I need to say something to the Lord. Will you just pray with me a moment? Father, we're clay. We can't touch holy things, not well. Nonetheless, we're here to glorify your Son and speak of the things that just must be the deepest things within you. And for that reason, we come to tell you we love you, we love him. Father, you glorified him so much. Glorify him again tonight. Amen. Amen. Go back with me. Journey with me through the past. Not in our age. Not even to antiquity. Go back with me to the garden. But let's not stop there. Go back to the creation of this realm. But let's not stop there. Let's go back to the creation of the heavenlies, that is, the other realm where angels play. But let's not stop there. Let's go back before the creation of angels, archangels, and even before the other realm. And now, where are we? We are in a great abyss of nothingness. No, not at all. Because when we came back before creation, and we have gone before all things created, then even the abyss of nothingness must disappear. And we're faced with this awesome reality that now we have come to a point where there is nothing but God. And He is all there is. Not God plus a realm of a vast nothings, but God. And beyond God, God. And beyond God, God. And beyond God, God. He is the all. That's what we have. And this is where we shall begin. No one is there. Just there. And what no one can possibly know, because no one is there, is that there is a mystery hidden deep inside of God. There is, before anything created, a mystery hidden in the depths and being gone. Now, what is this mystery? What is it? The answer is, we don't know. It's a mystery. There is the eternal Father, there is the eternal Son who will one day become a man. There is the eternal Spirit. But I want you to understand something. All reality rests in Him. All reality rests in Him. Do not think that you live in a world of reality. You live in a world of pictures of reality. And when I speak of spirit in this realm, I am only discussing a picture of that realm. When I say a tree in this realm, it's not a tree. It is but a shadow of the real tree. And when I speak of water, I am not speaking of water. The water you drink and I drink is nothing but a replica of real water. You came much later than reality. You are way over here. Reality was there. Anything that is in Him is real. Anything over here is a emblem, a relic, a miniature, a shadow, a type of reality. Do you understand? All right. Now, I want you to understand that this is God. He is all. There's nothing else. If He were to speak, and He did not speak, if He said spirit, He's talking, you will notice that it is discolored. It is slightly discolored. It is a very poor, dark picture of real light. I am saying to you that only real life, real light, real spirit, real anything rests in Him. All else has come after Him as a shadow of His being and nature. If you are to get to reality, you have to come to God, the All. Now, there are many things in Him that are real. His Son is there, His Spirit is there, but I want you to know something else. Very difficult to grasp. Can you follow this? Part of you is there. Part of you is there. Which part? A rather insignificant part. A little part. A very minor part. No. The only part of you that really matters is there. For we're dealing with reality. Now, God decides to create. We don't know why He's going to create. We aren't there yet. There's a portion of us that is there, but You're not there. The you sitting in this room is not. The angels aren't there. Then nobody knows why he created. Do you know why he created? No, you don't know.
It's a mystery. This is a mystery.
But I'm going to tell you this. If God is all, where is he going to create? That's right, brother. There is only one place on earth. There is only one place he can possibly create. He has to create within himself. And so he makes eternity. He makes the eternals, the spirituals, and they are invisible and they cannot be seen. And if you were standing there, you wouldn't see anything. And they are spirit because he is spirit. And they're after his nature. They're like unto him. The eternal realm. It has no dimension. And then he fills it with all sorts of creatures. He makes archangels. And he makes angels. And then he makes four living creatures. And he makes cherubim. We don't know how many. And he makes seraphim, and we don't know what else. And he populates this realm. Now, I want you to be clear. The angels belong to that realm. It is their habitat. They can see the unseen. They can understand the invisibles. They can see the invisibles. They are spirit creatures as God is spirit. They have been made like unto him. God inhabits this place also, and it is his place. You might call it God's realm. And by the way, he rules there. Therefore, it is his kingdom. It is the kingdom of the spirituals, the spiritual realm. It is the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of the heavenly places. And he rules in the heavenly places, and you can't see it. Back to matter, you're not here yet. Now, this thing reaches forever. You can't get to the end of it. There'll never be a time when your hand could reach its ends and claw against the side. One day, one non-day, God created again. Now, where is he going to create this time? He's got to create within himself. This time he creates within the eternals. And he creates something so wholly different from that realm. Nobody could have imagined this. He created something visible. Incredibly, it had a beginning and an end. Now that's mind-boggling. It wasn't eternal. It began and it ended. Started here and ended here. You could measure it. It had length and breadth and height and depth. It may look big to you. It looked awfully small to the angels. Well, they could cover one end of it to the other in just that long. God created this realm. He filled the stars. This other heaven, this heaven that is a picture of the heavens. All sorts of things. And then he made the earth. And then he shaped it, and he made the oceans, the continents. And then he made the herbs to grow, and life came, and it was visible life. To think of a life you could see. Life had always been unseeable. This is really a low life. It's visible of all things. Little herbs. And then little fish. And then birds that fly. And then animals.
Now, I want you to understand something, that the angels are more or less captured to their realm. Can you understand that? And the animals are captured to their realm. The animals can't see the angels, and I doubt the angels are all that concerned about the animals.
They're such insignificant things from the eternal view.
And they have been made of this earth, from this earth, for this earth.
And the others are native to the other realm. What is the habitat of those animals? Earth. What is the habitat of the angels?
The spiritual realm. Now, God does something very, very unusual. He goes over to some red dirt. Now, you say in Hebrew, red dirt, you say Adam. That's how you say red dirt. Adam. And he began to mold the red dirt into what was obviously the superior of all the creatures that would be confined to this habitat. And he makes this gloriously magnificent, majestic creature who lays there, still, full in length, yet not born. Now, God comes down to this place where he has molded this creature. And all the angels are watching. And they know that he's going to touch this man and make him live. They probably have figured out he'll have dominion over this realm, just as the archangels take care of the other realm. And God leans down over the man and then he stops. And the angels are mystified. They can't understand why they stopped. And there in their presence, the creating Lord lifts up off the earth, goes past the clouds, up into the skies, beyond the skies, through that portal that separates one realm from the other, and goes back into the invisible creation, and stands now in the invisible realm. And there's something that's in that realm, real wind, real air, real pneuma. And the living God stands in the midst of that glorious realm, and he does this. And then he descends back to the portal, down to the skies, down to the clouds, down upon the earth. And he steps before the red clay fashioned so magnificently, and he does this. And he blows the wind of the other realm into this creature. And the wind of the other realm goes into his nostrils, and they quiver. And they can see, the angels watch, the sparkling, rolling light of wind as it sparkles down into the depths of his being, and then rest somewhere deep down in his inmost being and pulsates. And they begin to see this creature begin to glow. And the glow spreads throughout his entire body. He quivers. He blinks. He turns slightly to his side, and then he stands erect. And the angels are speechless. They stand dumbfounded. They do not know what to think of this creature, for he is not like any other creature. They are utterly mystified. Do you understand? He doesn't belong to the spiritual realm. And he doesn't belong to this realm. He's a half-breed. One of the angels says, he's part from our realm.
And one of the cows says,
being interpreted, he's part from our realm. He is made out of the dearth of earth, but he has within him the wind of the heavens, blown into him by the very breathing of God. And he stands, and he looks about, and he sees the cattle, he sees the birds, he sees the trees, and he looks about, and he sees the angels. Here is a visible creature who can see the invisible. Here is a seeing creature who can see the unseen. And he can look and see the other realm. He walks over to one of the angels and says, Michael, I presume. He turns to another and says, Gabriel, I presume. And Gabriel looks at him and says, well, I never saw anything visible. They could see something invisible.
Do you see him now? Will you take a really good look at him? Really, really good look at it. He is a child of two worlds. Even God can't say that. God belongs to that realm. Cows belong to this realm. Here is a creature with both realms in him. He has a body like a cow. He has a soul like a puppy dog. He has a spirit like an angel. Let's turn that around. He has a spirit like an angel, and a soul and a body like creatures of this realm. He is spirit, soul, and body. Do you follow me? He is spirit, soul, and body. An ancient order that was afterward long forgotten. Spirit, soul, and body. And so God made the earth, and he made the other realm. But this man needed a habitat. He needed a habitat. Now, where are you going to put him? Are you going to put him in heaven? Or are you going to put him on earth? You can't put him on earth because that's not his habitat. You can't put him in heaven. That's not his habitat. He's got a problem. Where are you going to put him, and what shall his habitat be? This is a problem. We've got a man without a home. We've got one of God's creatures without a home. The angels are very bright.
The man glows softly. He's covered, clothed in light.
Do you know where God put him?
He put him
in an interface.
He put him in a place
where there is not one realm or another, but where two realms meet and overlap. Where the spiritual realm and the physical realm, the invisible realm and the visible realm, the realm without dimension and the realm with dimension, the realm without mass and the realm with mass, the realm without space and without time, and the realm with space and with time, touch and then overlap. And where is this unique, incredible place? It is the place of the habitat of this glorious, glorious bi-creation creature. Did you get that? Bi-creation creature. The place of his habitat is called the Garden of Eden. Half of this realm and half of the other. Having touched, it is of neither, and it is of both. The angels can play there, and man is there, and God is there. What an incredible, wonderful place. It is a habitat that matches the man. As sure as the heavens match God, the Garden of Eden match the man. Are you clear? Be clear, there is a habitat, a place for this man. The subject tonight is the spiritual community of the believer. The place for Adam is the Garden of Eden.
He can pet a cow and he can talk to an angel. What a creature. Say praise the Lord. That's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Well, he really enjoys this new existence, this time of consciousness for a while. But he gets to itching where you can't scratch. He gets lonely. And he notices the lion as the lioness, the tiger, the tigress,
two monkeys, the two eagles, the eagle and the female eagle. Everything is in twos. And he looks around. And he sees a chimpanzee and he gets sick of his stomach.
He sees an orangutan and he almost throws up. Is that the closest thing there is to me?
And he and the Lord have a long talk. And I want you to remember this. He is in God's image. And they are all that there is who have nobody. Angels are neuter. They have one another. All the creatures have a mate. God is without a mate. And man is without a mate. And man is in the image of God. And man is in the image of God. and man is in the image of his God. And finally, God reveals something to him. He will have to fall asleep if he is to have a mate, into a deep, death-like sleep. Now I ask you to give me your full consideration. Here is the man sleeping, a deep, deep sleep. And brothers and sisters, behold a mystery. Here is the most incredible mystery angels had ever seen or could have conceived of. Do you know what it is? It is this. There is a woman inside of Adam. Do you hear that? There is a woman hidden inside of Adam. Would you say that with me? There is a woman hidden inside of Adam. Why don't you just say it? There is a woman hidden inside Adam. Thank you.
I don't mean there's a little something about this stall that's kind of stuck in there between the esophagus and the lung. I don't mean that. I mean that by some great mystery, there is a woman hidden inside Adam. God breaks the skin of Adam and reaches in and pulls forth, careful here, he pulls forth Adam. That's Adam God holds in his hand. He has reached in and brought forth a part of Adam. It is still Adam. And it is alive and pulsating. And it is glowing. It is glowing. And then God begins to. And it begins to grow. And continues to grow. Adam is asleep. And the rib begins to grow under the forming hand of God until there has grown How shall I say this? Do not consider this another creature. Please, this is Adam. And this bone now grows and forms. This is not a creation. Can you understand? This is not a creation. This is Adam. Fashioned, and there stands Adam. Slightly different. Still, please follow me. I know you know about identical twins who've come from the same egg, and they can do a kidney transplant. There's no rejection. They are the same person. I know you've heard of DNA. I know you've heard of DNA. The little spiral thing inside of us that has 100,000 codes in it, and each code is incredible in its complexity. I was told the other day that the scientists have asked for the opportunity of decoding all 100,000 codes in the DNA. And they estimate it will cost the same amount of money it does to put man on the moon. And it will be a project taking thousands and tens of thousands of scientists and the greatest and best computers in the world, and it will take 30 years. And it will be 1,000 volumes long with 1,000 pages in each volume.
and it will take approximately 10,000 years to figure out what it means. This is a fact. I heard the proposal itself made. 10,000 years to go through those volumes and figure out what each one of those little DNAs do. You've got that in every gene and in every cell in your body, your genetic code. Are you following me? Well, my dear friend, I'm trying to get you to understand that at this moment there is only one genetic code. There is only one DNA. There sleeps a man, here stands a woman, but there is only one DNA. They are the same. This is so important. This is what this message is about, so try to grasp it. We don't have two here, we got one. This came out of Adam, it was Adam, and grew, but it's still the same DNA, the same creature, the same substance, the same molecular structure, identical in every way as to composition. There is no difference. Do you follow me? Adam is brought out of his deep sleep. The Hebrew is written here very powerful and presents to us someone extremely excited. And Adam looks over at this glowing creature. And he cries out, "Wow. Wow. Bone from my bone. Flesh from my flesh." An incredible mystery. There was a woman hidden inside of Adam that was Adam. I don't know how to, if I qualify that in any way, I've lost something here. It is Adam. That which is Adam has been brought out of Adam, stands there, the same molecular structure, the same genetic code, the same in every way. And would it be any clearer if I said to you, in need of a transplant, they could swap kidneys, there would be no rejection. Do you understand? They're the same. There is no difference. But now they're two of them. But that's not true. That's not true. And this is just as mysterious. You know, I don't have to say they fall in love. They just are in love. And those two glowing spheres meet. And then comes this incredible, that which was one, which is two but is not two, but are one, now become one again. And the two return to what they were. They become one flesh. And their flesh is identical, and their bone is identical, and they are one. Did you follow this? Now, I'm telling you, that is mysterious. That is incredibly mysterious. But I want to tell you something more. He was made in the image of his God. Well, he and she, this one who are one, who became two, who are still one,
and who then became one, are now together in their natural habitat. And what is their natural habitat? Spirit and material, mass and non-mass, dimension and non-dimension. They flow through the two without any problem or hindrance. They and their habitat share something in common. The habitat is an interface and overlapping of two realms. But can you follow this? Adam and his wife, Eve, are also an overlap of two realms. Can you follow that? Do you understand that? Their very being is an overlap of two realms. Spirit, soul, body, they are themselves an interface of two realms. They are a walking combination, a marriage of the two creations of God, the physical realm and the spiritual realm. Isn't that incredible? Does that touch you? Does that say anything to you? Does that do anything to you? And that's your grandpappy. Isn't that marvelous? I want you to look at him one more time and see him as a combination of two realms, would you? And therefore, the place where he lives has to be a combination of two realms also. And there had never been a creature like this before. And oh, sad to say, there never has been another one like him since. The fall. All the fall. And what happens? The spirit went out. The other realm went out. The other realm in him died. And goes to the bottom of the category. He is now soul, flesh, with death in him. The death spirit. The dead spirit. He is soul, body, dead spirit. But after he has lived a while and sin has infestated his body, and the power of sin is greater than the power of the soul, and the body is no longer the body, it is the flesh, and with great strength overcomes the soul. Oh, saints, this is so tragic. The whole category has inverted. He is now body, soul, and spirit. He started out spirit, soul, and body, and now he is body, soul, and spirit. He is flesh and soul, and his spirit is virtually a corpse he drags around with him. Now, he's going to lose his habitat. Can you follow me? He can no longer live in this habitat because they no longer match. And there is sin in him. He only matches one realm. He's just a little higher than the cattle now. Now I want you to watch what God does. I want you to look at the garden. We're going to take a farewell look at it. Will you watch it? As it begins to recede, God takes it away. I want you to look at it, would you? This is going to be your last chance to see it. What's in it? There's a tree in it. A real tree. This is an interface, folks. A real tree. There's a river there with water in it. It's real water. Real water. There was a man in it.
and God was there. There is also, we are told, gold and pearl and stones that are very precious. Can you see them? Would you watch it disappear now? A tree, a river with clear water in it, and gold and pearl and precious stone. And God and man must leave. And the garden disappears into the other realm. Here's what happens. If you will notice, they had overlapped when man lived there because man's habitat is an overlap as he is, a combination. Now God removes the garden and he removes access to the other realm. Now watch carefully. And the two realms touch. But you can't get from here to here. You can't get from the physical realm to the spiritual realm. They are still touching. They touch at this very moment, saints. And God did an incredible thing. He put a portal there. He put a door there. Can you follow me? He put a door there, but that door only swings one way. You can't go from here to there. You can go from there into our realm. But that door only goes that way. If you try to get this direction, you will meet cherubim. Cherubim with a mighty, flashing, flaming, whirling sword. Dear friend, you cannot get into heavenly places. You cannot get into the other realm. You are now confined forever to the physical realm. Do you follow me? Are you with me? Are you clear? There no longer exists upon this planet one who can put one foot on the earth and one in the spiritual realm. He no longer exists. And there is no way for the two realms to fellowship. And there is no habitat and there is no human who is a combination of two realms. Now this is sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, this is really, really sad. Terribly sad. A man who could see angels and walk into the other realm has ceased to exist, and we will never see his species again. And the species that was once man has biologically changed, and he is now and forever confined to this realm, a prisoner in space and time, forever of the material. Well, I want you to know that that door swung open on numerous occasions. I wonder if you can help me. Maybe it'll come to mind. That door did swing open on occasions. Let me tell you one time when that door swung open. That door between the two realms swung open, and a gentleman by the name of... Yeah. I never thought about that. He didn't walk through that door, did he? And one day, Abraham was standing there feeding his pigs. He was feeding his pigs. And the door opened, and a priest walked out who didn't have a father or a mother or any lineage. And he ran over and offered tithes and offerings to this one who had stepped through the door. One who was priest of another realm. Are you following me? One day an old gentleman saw that door open. Now listen very carefully. He looked up into that other realm. And he saw a building. Some awesome building.
God said, build a replica of that. And he said, out here in this desert?
Man, Bart, there's no way. Well, do the best you can.
So he said, well, we'll make it out of cloth because we don't have that. And we'll build it with this and that and the other. And he said, bring your gold and bring your silver and bring your bronze and bring your fine linen. And they built a little symbol of something he had seen. The door opened. Are you with me? Another time a man was riding down the road and the door opened and the man was thinking, I think he was trying to figure out a way to make a fast buck, wasn't he? And he was thinking, but the donkey looked up and he saw an archangel.
He is a lot smarter than the man. The door had opened and an archangel had stopped the man. There was another time that door opened and a king looked up into the other realm and he saw that same building. The only difference was it was getting bigger.
And he was awestruck, and he wrote down some possibilities for building a replica to that.
And he gave it to his son, and he said, son, build that. It is a symbol of what I saw in the other realm.
Are you following me? Okay, there was another time the door opened, but it was a little bigger than a door opening. This is a young man, and he was chosen by lot to go into that replica here on earth, which was built by Solomon. Are you following me? A replica of some glorious thing up there. And he walked and he opened the curtain into this cubic room that is only, you only are allowed into once a year. And he went in there to perform the rites of the priesthood. And he was in a symbol, a replica, a picture of the other realm. That's what that room is. And he was about to do something, and it was like someone had taken giant hands and just pulled the wall apart.
And I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And there were these flying creatures crying, holy, holy, holy. And all I cried was, have mercy on me, God, I'm a sinful man. The door had opened. And a man had seen for one moment the other and glorious realm
that he once had had title deed to. Are you following?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. There was another man went in the same room, also appointed that year to be the priest who would go in and officiate. And he was going into this room to do something. And this is a room that has just this one entrance. You can't get in any other way. And he's about to do whatever he's supposed to do. And there stands an angel. The door had opened again. And an archangel had come through. And his name was what? Gabriel. And the man he was talking to was Zechariah. And he said, Zechariah, you're going to have a son. And Zechariah snickered. And the angel struck him dumb. But he had a son. That door had opened. Well, dear brothers and sisters, follow me now.
because something monumental is about to take place. Can you see how that door moves around? Please understand that door moves. It's not stuck in one place. That door could appear most anywhere. Just anywhere. And you cannot understand that it opens up to a non-dimensional realm. You can't measure that realm. It's not big. It's not small. It's just.
Yeah.
It's there. You say, well, it's bigger than our creation. Yes. But it's small enough to fit anywhere and take the whole thing with it. It is non-dimensional. And now that door is going to open under the most strange of all possible circumstances. And a brand new creature is about to be introduced. A brand new creature is about to be introduced into this realm. A new creature is going to step through this realm. He's not an angel. He's not exactly anything from that realm. He's not exactly anything from this realm. He's new. Nothing like this has ever happened before or appeared before. The portal opens. And here comes good news, folks. Do you know what that portal is? That portal is a woman's womb that allows something incredible to come out of the other realm into this realm. And there lie in a barn. Let's look at this creature. Tell me, does this creature have a body?
Yeah, it's like unto Adam's body and there's no sin in it.
Does this creature have a soul?
Ah, and the soul is without sin
and without damage, psychologically perfect, undamaged. That's great. Does this creature have a spirit? Aha, a duplicate of Adam, if you please. Look at this, a duplicate of Adam. He has a living spirit, right? So he is Adam again. We got a new Adam here. We got a second Adam, right? Wrong. This is not a duplicate of Adam in any way. For there's one other thing in him that Adam never had. Had Adam eaten the tree of life, he would have had it. But there is inside this little baby not only a body that has no, that is not corrupted by flesh, a soul that is not damaged by the fall, and a living, pulsating spirit that comes from the other realm. But he also has not only the breath and wind of the other realm, but he has the very Father of creation. God lives in him. That never happened to Adam. Do you understand that this baby has brought God out of the other realm and put him in this realm? Do you understand that we have before us now a creature who belongs to both realms? Do you understand this? One's back again. When he grows up, he can stand in this realm. Get clear on this, saints. He also stood in this realm. He was in both realms at the same time. And this is why I would say never tie him down to his Jewish culture. Listen, he's as much, I'm going to use the word human here, it doesn't fit, but let me use it. He's as much human to that realm as he is to this realm. Do you understand? He's as native there as he is native here.
He is as much in that realm as he is in this realm.
I don't mean that he remembers it. I mean he's in it.
Just like Adam.
Brothers and sisters, here he is. The only difference between him and Adam is he doesn't have a habitat to live in. He's got no habitat.
But he's going to change that.
Praise the Lord.
He's going to get himself a habitat.
All right.
Can you see him? Watch him grow up.
He gets about this size physically. Well, he gets about this size spiritually.
When he grows up to about this size physically, he is also growing spiritually. That's in the New Testament. He's growing this way. So that if he knows this much about his humanity, he knows this much about his divinity. If he knows this much about this realm, he knows this much about this realm, the other realm. So he gets up right about here,
and he makes a trip to Jerusalem. And he walks up to this great big thing, and he says, I remember showing the real thing to Solomon. Say praise the Lord. So that's what Solomon did with it.
I house God. That pictures me.
Oh, my mother.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
He sits down with these gentlemen and he starts talking not about legal things and little dots of I's and crossing the T's. He starts talking about other realms. Well, he never heard anything like this. So they start asking him questions. And now they're learning a lot. Hey, let's write that down. That's pretty good. Yeah. We don't know how much he knows, but we know this, that he has grown this far. He is to the point he knows that he has an earthly mother from this realm. He has a father from the other realm. And he is to be about, and the scripture says, the things of his father. And if that can be interpreted about the house of his father, or about the works of his father, the deeds of his father, or it can simply mean about his father. I have to be about my father. Now, I want you to try to understand something. Dear brothers and sisters, please try to understand this. He is remembering. I'll do it this way. That's past. He is remembering when he spoke face to face with Moses. Don't think he's not. He's not reading this out of a Bible and saying, if I'm the Son of God, this must happen to me. He remembers his day he spoke to Abraham. But just as surely as he remembers that, he also remembers the day he fellowshipped with the Father in the other realm. He remembers when he came to this realm and delivered the people from the Red Sea. He begins to remember his own creating activities. And as he grows more physically and in human knowledge, he grows in spiritual knowledge. And he begins to grow even more and even more. Under the point, he can know and does, and he remembers absolutely everything. In both realms, follow me, in our realm going that away, and in the other realm going that way, and in our realm going that way. Do you know what I'm pointing to? I'm pointing to the future. And in the other realm going that way. Eternal past, eternal future. Time past, time future.
Let me just give you two or three times when we can see him standing in both realms. If you read the Divine Romance, you remember my recounting of the wedding feast, and he stood in two realms at once. And he took one as what it is, symbolic, and the other one is real. And when his mother said, they need new wine, they're out of wine, he was in the other realm. Now, the only wine there is in the other realm is himself. He is real wine. Everything else is a picture of that. They're out of wine. Woman, don't bother me. My time's not yet. Do you understand? Do you understand? He was speaking of himself. I am wine. And then he remembers, oh, he's at a wedding. His mother understood. She's used to this child of her. Yeah, who stands in both realms. And she walks over to those fellows and she says, you see that man over there? If he says for you to do something real, real strange, do it. But I think it is John 3:13. I believe it's 13. This mysterious verse when Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And he said, no man can go into the other realm except one who has come out of the other realm. And there's only one who has come out of the other realm, and that's the Son of Man, who has been in the other realm and who is now in this realm and who is now in the heavenlies. Read it. Who is now in the heavenlies. He was sitting in Nicodemus' living room, and he was also now in heavenly places. See? I'm telling you, folks, we got an interface living and breathing among us. We got one who belongs to both realms. He not only belongs to both realms, he's got a right to claim both realms. He's the son of the king in that realm, and he is son of the King David in this realm. He not only can walk in both of them, he one day will claim the right to rule them both at the same time. And then he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right. There is another time he is speaking and he says something. Where I am going, you cannot come. And they said he's going to Rome. He's going to live with the Gentiles. And he said, you don't know where I'm going, and you'll never get where I'm going. And they said, where is he going? And his answer is not where he is going. He says, where I am, you cannot come. Where I am right now, you like a cow are joined to this planet and you're going to stay on this planet. Where I am, you'll never get, you Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes. Where I am, you cannot come.
And there was another time.
When he said, and then I said, let me paraphrase this. And then I said, Abraham said to me, and they said, you're not 50 years old. How in the world could you see Abraham? And he said, before Abraham, I was. Well, before you were, after you are. After Abraham is, I am.
And if you want to understand that, then you'll have to understand I am that I am.
Praise the Lord.
Well, then one day, just before the crucifixion, when this relationship with his Father and with the Eternals and with time is fully pregnant, it is fully grown, it is total. The Father and Son are so much one. There's this
one.
And Philip looks into his eyes and says, "Lord, we just got one more request. Everything you've made clear, all clear to us. Lord Jesus,
just would you show us the Father?"
Excuse me. And they slip. The wrong person speaks. "Philip, have I been so long with you?
And you have not known me." "The Father has spoken." The one who belongs to the other realm and in the other realm is in him. In fact, this is the other realm. "Oh, but Gene, that's tiny." It's non-dimensional.
Well, brothers and sisters,
they take him to the cross. And they crucify him. And when he was the all, there was a great mystery hidden in God. A great mystery hidden in God. Now he's become a man and he is dead. And he lays there like Adam. There was a mystery hidden in Adam. Adam was made in the image of God. And now the Father reaches down to this two-realm creature and opens his side. And out pours the blood of this realm and the water of that realm. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I want you to know that the blood of that realm, of this realm, and the water of that realm are the Son of God. There is a mystery hidden in God. You know what it is? It's very simple. There is a woman hidden inside your God. You hear me? There is a woman hidden inside God. There's a woman hidden inside of the living God. And she has been there from eternity. And the angels didn't know it. Lucifer sure got caught off guard here, folks. One day, man made in the image of God stood alone with God, the only two creatures without any counterpart. And then man got a counterpart that was hidden in him. And now God, it is discovered, has a woman inside of him. Now get clear on this, friend. She is bone of his bone. She is flesh of his flesh. Are you following me?
That's not exactly correct. If I take gold out of this vessel and gold out of this vessel and they are pure gold,
and I melt them and pour them both into another vessel, can you separate them?
Gold is gold is gold. If you take divinity out of this vessel and divinity out of this vessel and pour them together, can you separate them? Adam had a spirit that was of the wind of the other realm. Jesus Christ had a spirit that was the life and nature of his Father.
Do you understand that? And the Father reached down into his side and pulled out the blood of our realm, but the water of the other realm. There was the divinity of God. Can you please follow this? The DNA of God, the genetic code of God, the molecular structure of God.
I don't know. Are you following me?
Three days later, he rose from the dead. I want you to watch him. Is this a two-realm man? Here's a room completely sealed. Now, he walks through the wall. Now that's the other realm, folks. That's what angels do. And he takes a piece of food and eats it. That belongs to our realm. Is that not true? He demonstrated his two-realm characteristics right there in front of them all. Now watch what he does. You have to understand that this is not Adam. This is God. He's doing things a little differently. Never has man had the divine nature in him. Never. Adam didn't. Adam had the wind of the other realm, but he never had the nature of God in him. Only Jesus Christ had done that. In his coming, he alone had joined two realms. You remember when he told Philip, there's a ladder, angels will ascend on it and descend on it. Part of that ladder is in the other realm and part of it is this realm. And what is that ladder? Tell me what that ladder is. Jesus Christ is that ladder. He joins two realms. He's the only one who ever had divinity in him. Now he stands in this room, and there are 10 men present. And they all jump to their feet. Peter's first on his feet. And there they all are, all lined up. I want you to watch your Lord. He does something that is probably the most historical thing that ever happened in creation other than his own self. He takes a deep breath. He takes it out of the other realm. It's in him. The realm's in here. You got that? But that's not all that's in him. God's in here too. Are you following me? Come here, Peter, you're first. Brothers and sisters, here is the first person after Adam and the Lord Jesus who's going to get a living spirit. But listen, he is the first man ever other than the Lord who is going to get the divine nature in him. Stand up here, Peter.
I want you to watch what happens. Deep within the Lord Jesus Christ is his own living spirit, like Adam's, that which belongs uniquely to the Lord Jesus. But within his own unique spirit, there is also the living God, the divine nature of God. Now watch. Watch and see what angels could see, what we nor Peter could see. Watch. Watch his spirit risen from the dead. Risen from the dead and therefore can die no more. Watch his divine nature within his spirit coming up out of the inmost part of his being. You know where it's flowing from? It's flowing from a door in here that goes into the other realm, to the throne, to the Father, and out of the Father, who's living in the Lord. Don't ask me to explain this. And is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is the life of the Father, and there is the living Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then this glorious, living, pulsating thing comes up out of the Lord. And the Lord goes, and we are told he breathed into him. Into him. And watch. Watch this sparkling, glistening, glimmering spirit go into the nostrils of Simon Peter. And soon as him, not it, him, touches Simon Peter's dead spirit, what happens? There's a resurrection. Been dead for thousands of years, and for the first time, a human spirit rises from the dead. Praise the Lord. We got a cleansed soul, saints, and we got a living spirit pulsating inside of Peter. That's not where our story ends, thank God. As that spirit came alive by the touch of divinity and the touch of the Lord's own spirit, then there entered into this pulsing, living spirit the very nature of God. And his spirit and the nature of God became one. Do you follow me? And when he was old, Simon Peter remembered that historic night, and he wrote you and me a letter, and he said, we have become partakers of the divine nature. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your double witness, Simon Peter. Praise our God. Well, this happened to John and James, and it happened to Thomas later. It happened to Matthew and Jude and Judas, not Iscariot. And who else? Simeon. And Thaddeus. And each one of them, if we could see, had this glowing inside of them. And Adam was green with envy. Out of his wounded side had come that which he had died for, and was now DNA of his DNA, genetic code of his genetic code. There was a woman hidden inside the Lord Jesus Christ, and she came forth to be seen by the eyes of God, by the eyes of God visibly on the day of Pentecost. But that part of her was caught in time and space. Now, brothers,
sisters. I'll tell you about one more time that door opened. No, it didn't open. It's open now. The Lord kicked it in on the day of the crucifixion, and it will never close again. Now, do you know where that door is located? You have any idea where that door is located?
Say that again. Brother, stand up and do that, would you? Thank you. Will you just show us right, come a little lower, right about, how about right there? All right, brother, that's where that door is located. And do you understand, dear friend, that Jesus Christ had one foot planted in one realm and one in the other? And do you understand that you're now species of his species? Do you understand that you're now genetic code of his genetic code? Do you understand that you're now DNA of his DNA? And do you understand that you now belong as the redeemed to both realms? Praise the Lord. Now hold on to that and don't let go, because that gets important. But the subject under discussion is the spiritual community of the believer. All right, you haven't forgotten that. All right, thank you, brother. Hey, listen, there's one thing missing. A habitat. A habitat for this new creature, this new creation, this new. When we say new creation, we're not talking about a new creation. We're talking about a new creation. Do you understand that? Well, there's the old creation and the new creation, and the new one's just as big as the old one. We're not talking about I am a new creation like I'm something made new here. We're talking about God did away with one, started another. This is the second creation, the new creation. I'm looking at it right now. All right. Now, an old man goes up one Sunday morning real early, not 11 a.m. And
somebody thrust his fingers into the fabric of our universe and rips it open. Well, the old man is sitting here like this. He's looking this way. The fabric of the universe has been ripped open this way.
John! John! And what did he see?
He saw the Lord in his glory. He couldn't even describe it. What else did he see? He saw a door open. He saw a door open. He saw the future. And I want you to go with me to that place, would you? Would you come go with me now to that place? And let's look up. And that door is open. And you know what we see? We see the place where God is housed. Now, saints, follow me very carefully here, would you? Look up with me. And what do you see? What do you see? You see coming out of the other realm. Are you with me? That means it doesn't belong to that realm. Tartar, the newer. This doesn't make any sense. Here comes a city. A city. Not a building and not a tabernacle, but this thing has grown to the size of a very large city.
What is going on here, my brother? Let me tell you what we see.
Can you recall at any time ever before where there was a place, where there was a tree?
Can you recall a place where there was a river flowing
with living water in it?
Think with me, wasn't there some place that had a tree and a river with flowing water on gold and pearl and precious stone and God and a man? Where was that place?
Where was it?
It was the interface.
It was the place where two realms touched, joined, and overlapped.
Are you following me?
Well, that don't look like no garden to me. But it's got a tree and a river and a god and a man and gold and pearl and precious stone. And the garden has grown and become a city.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Here comes the Lord. Praise the Lord.
It's coming back.
The cherubim has been dismissed. The sword has been put aside. The flame is gone. And here comes my habitat.
Praise the living God.
This, you know, and I know that the city of Jerusalem was always a picture of the church of the living God. Well, look up into the heavens, and what do you see? You see the sparkling, glistening jewels, precious stones and jewels, glistening thousands and tens of thousands of them coming down out of the heavens. It is the new Jerusalem.
The new Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. The habitat is coming back. A place that fits him and fits me and fits you. Don't sit there, say praise the Lord.
The Lord. Glory. Here come the saints. Can you see it descending? Look at it glisten and sparkle.
The habitat of God. The habitat of Christ.
Wait a minute. It's changing. It's changing its form. Those are not jewels.
Those are not stones. I don't know what it is, but it's alive.
Look closer. It's a multitude that no man can number. It is the host of the redeemed.
Here they come. That's you. And that's me. Can you see us? Can you see us? Glistening, living stones. A great, glorious multitude.
Keep watching, will you? Will you keep watching?
Do you know what this is? This is the members of the body, and they're about to be assembled. This is DNA of his DNA. Your body has been delivered. You got a new one that'll walk through the wall. You can also sit down and eat. You got a spirit, a soul, a body. And here he stands
Lord of both realms, Lord of all lords, King of all kings. He stands and waits. And here we come. And see the glistening, glorious, whirling, shining light of the multitude of the redeemed. And watch them join in an anthem of praise, and they begin to change, and they touch one another, and they reform. They have at last assembled. They are the assembled. What do you see?
One of the archangels drops his sword and cries out,
"Oh no! Oh no! It's the bride! It's the bride!"
And there she stands. She got no spots, she got no wrinkles, she's gonna be young forever. There she is.
She is one glorious, beautiful creature.
Brothers, treat your wife nice and learn from her, because someday you are going to end up being a girl.
She came out of his sire. She came out of his sire.
There stands the mystery of God. The woman, the girl, hidden in God when he was the all in all. There she stands, rapturous in her beauty, as beautiful as the face of God.
He finally gets what he has been after from before the beginning. And he cries out, "Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, do you understand that she is his nature? That we have here a companion for Christ? He's not going to marry a species different from his own. She is the new creation. She has never known sin. She is spotless, white, pure, glorious. He prepared her. And there she stands, genetic code of his genetic code. DNA of his DNA. She is out of him. She is an extension of him. She was once hidden in him. She came out of him. And now she stands there in all her glory. Eve came out of Adam, bone of his bone, and stood there in her beauty.
Do you understand? The natures are the same.
Do you understand where she came from?
The angelic hosts begin to praise and glory in this moment of the marriage. Hey, saints, we're going to have a marriage right here in front of our very eyes. I'm not talking about a ceremony. I'm talking about a wedding of two people. We're about to see the most glorious sight that shall ever be. I want you to watch
I want you to watch him as he turns toward her. And now she, like him, remembers everything.
He turns and looks into her face, and she looks into his face, and the glow of the blinding light of the uninhibited, incandescent radiance of God burst forth.
And she approaches him, and in her glorious light,
her light disappears within his. And she reaches out
to him, and her hand just disappears.
And she can see nothing but the light of his glory. And she looks down, and she has no sense of where she is and where he is. And there is then her only consciousness is the sight of him in blinding glory. And then her whole being disappears
into him. She's back where she was. And he is no longer the all. He is all that is in her. He has become the all in all. And they are one. I mean, saints, they are one because they are one. And she's no longer a bride now. She's the wife. She's no longer the wife. They are one. We are ultimately headed right back where we came from.
Out of God. Back. I tell you, this isn't a mystery. That she was hidden in him, she came out of him, and she goes back into him, and the two become one.
Where does that leave you right now? I'll tell you where it leaves you. It leaves you with everything else in this universe is toothpaste. We have passed every gimmick, every trip, every organization, every trick. You are DNA of his DNA. You belong to both realms. You are one with him. You are out of him. You are going back into him. But he has not left you for future glory. When we meet again, our text will be, "For he has given you all the riches in the heavenly places that are in Christ." Not going to give you, has given you. Please understand the spiritual community of the redeemed. This is the colony out of heaven, but it is more than that. This, brothers and sisters, is the foretaste of the new Jerusalem. That is what the church is.
The church is the foretaste of that city, and the foretaste of that bride, and the foretaste of that wedding, and the foretaste of that fellowship, and the foretaste of that oneness with Him. That's what the church is for you here now, experientially Gabby.
Praise the Lord.
Good. Thank God. And that's your inheritance.
And that's what you taste sometimes in Chicago. And that's what your innards are hungering for. The foretaste.
200 pills and 199 of them are
It depends, doesn't it?
But one of them just may be the foretaste of glory, hunger for her.
You are part of. And you have become partakers of that nature. And this is where you're headed, and the Lord has not left you comfortless. He has given you His Spirit, His nature, and He has sent this colony out of the other realm. And you and I are here waiting in this community of the redeemed, waiting until the foretaste becomes the total reality. Brothers and sisters, the ball is in your court. Don't you ever settle for anything less than her. Now I'm going to close. I have a dream. I see a day, somewhere far hence, when, like the cathedrals in Europe that have been turned into museums, I see a day somewhere down the road, maybe a couple hundred years from now, when church buildings have been turned into restaurants. All of them. And the rest are museums. And civic auditoriums. And libraries. And frankly, I don't care, dance halls. They are not sacred. They are brick. Same thing the Tower of Babylon was built out of. They are brick. They are not living stones. I see a day when the seminaries have become places where Christian brothers and sisters can go and live around and walk in and sit around and read the books. You turn on video crystals. Believe me, it will be video crystals. Little crystals of videos, and watch and listen and study and do research and learn, and the seminaries will be gone. And the day when people will puzzle and scratch their heads and wonder how anybody ever came up with anything so outrageous as the pastoral concept. Cross this land and around the world, an experiential community of believers waiting for our Lord to come back to get His bride in all her glory. I wait for that day. I see that day out there. But I'm telling you,
that you've got a responsibility today to be that girl and to be in that community. We are not in the church for ourselves. We're in the church for him and for his satisfaction.
I see the day when that fellowship is in harmony with one another, with him. We have laid down our doctrines, and we have learned to love and care for one another because we have learned to live in both realms.
And we are today the marriage of that. Those two realms and the church of the living God is our one and only habitat. This species has but one place to live, in the Bride of Christ.
You don't belong anywhere else. Praise the Lord.
Would you stand? Would you, four or five rows, just take your chair and hold it?